sermon together, and it's really easy to put a sermon together on how we need to love other people, and it's just harder to live it out. And I want to confess this to you. Please listen and pray for your pastor, because like the vertical thing that I have with God, it's like going really good. I can't even think about like the devotions I've had the last couple months personally. I'm probably in a better place than I've ever been, just reading the Bible and praying and just having a good time with the Lord. And so just like, this is awesome and this is easy. And how many know it's pretty easy to love God? He's just like in a good mood all the time. He thinks my sermons are amazing, and he just loves me unconditionally for nothing that I've done, and I don't have to perform for him. He's just like, no, I accept you. I mean, no, that's amazing. So this thing, this vertical thing is awesome. I'm having a harder time. Please pray for me. I'm having a hard time with y'all. And I'm saying people in general, right? It's hard. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's hard. It's hard to love people, and don't look at me in that tone of voice. It's really hard, isn't it? And that's what we're going to talk about. And I was telling the first service, I feel like I'm like in preschool as it relates to loving people. I got the God thing down, but I just need your prayer and your support and some patience with your pastor on loving people. I know you're a lot more spiritual than I am, and you're a lot more godly than I am. In fact, after the service, you just might come up here, and because you're so holy, he just might take you to heaven like he did with Enoch and Elijah, but like, pray for me, because I'm having a hard time with this. It's hard. So I was thinking this week, weird transition, I was thinking this week about inventions. Like, there's been some big inventions that have been really important, right? Like electricity. I mean, oh, that's a big one. So you don't really know how important electricity is until you don't have it. Like, when we're in Africa and it's 100 degrees and 95% humidity, and you're like sweating in the air conditioning that barely works, but when that goes out, how many know that? And so many times I'm preaching in Africa and there's thousands of people, and just like the whole sound system shuts down. And I've been to Haiti a couple times, and boom, electricity's gone, and you're just sweating trying to go to sleep, and it's just hot. And someone, praise God for electricity, right? That's a great invention. How about the television? That was a good one, right? All the old people in our church used to listen to the radio. Yeah, and then the TV came out. Remember in the early days of the TV? Like in the 50s and 60s? I was born in 65, and I tell the joke, I was the remote control when I was a kid. We didn't have like, my dad's like, get up and turn at the channel. There was only three stations. He's like, two, back to four, five, four, two, that was it. Now we have like a billion stations, and the TVs aren't like this big and that wide. They're like 102 inch and like paper thin, right? And television was a great invention. And how about the telephone? Huh? By the way, where's the 50 and over crowd? Where are you guys at? Come on. That was so weak. I'm going to give you another run. We had one person go, woo. So when I say the 50 and over, put your hand up and give me a woo. Where's the 50 and over? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So do you remember the first telephones, like the one with the cord, the twisty cord? And you'd be like walking all over the house, and you'd be wrapping up grandma around it. You're just like out on the porch, and then you had to untwist it and do it, you know. And then, you know, remember the dial-up? And so I lived in Westlake Village. Right next door was Agora. Their area code, ready, was 818, and the first three numbers were 889. Yeah, you got it. So when you're calling your friend, the next city over, it's like 8, 1, 8, 889, 8, 8, like took you an hour and a half to call your friend. And then now, like, then we went, remember the pager first came out? And you'd have to pull over to like 7-Eleven. You're like, hold on, I'll call you in a second. And like the kids are like, 7-Eleven, why would you stop there? For the phone, dummy. Just put a dime in, right? And then remember the flip-up phones came? Those were like, are you kidding? Now, are you kidding? You can order a coffee on your, like, what? And that's an awesome invention. Think about music. See, the young guys don't know anything about, like, music. We used to have, like, a 45, remember that? And if you scratch that sucker, you might as well just throw it down the street, right? And then we went to 8-track. Now, we were talking about this, weren't we, 8-track? And if you're trying to find a song on 8-track, you're like, where's that again? And then cassette tape, it's like, woo! Nothing worse than when you're listening to a cassette and the thing like rips in half. And you're like pulling it out. And you're doing surgery on it. You got the pencil. You're like, yeah. And then we went to CD, and now we got everything on our phones, and there's been some awesome, awesome inventions. The airplane, for sure, the car. But you know what? I think the greatest invention wasn't necessarily a piece of technology. It was an idea. It was theology. It was something that Jesus said. So we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, but before we turn there, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. And this kind of blew me away because I've read this so many times. In fact, this was our sermon text last week, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. You got to look at this because I never saw, is it coming up, Mark chapter 12? Please turn on Mark chapter, there it is. Jesus says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and all your strength. That was preached so well last week. But I never caught this. The second, what are the next two words? The second is what? Huh. All of God's people said, huh. I was like, oh, hold it. I've never seen that. How could the second one be as equally as important as loving God? No, it should say, this is the most important thing by far, like way down on the list is loving other people. No. He said, equally important. Darn. Yeah, but it says equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Equally important? Hey, if we could love other people, how could it change our country? The political division, the racial division. If we could love people and prefer people as more important than ourselves. But you know what? It's hard to get away from this. Because the second you and I woke up in this morning, we thought about me. When I got to the, I hope I get a good parking spot. I hope I get a good parking spot. What kind of coffee should I order at the cafe? Not thinking that, hey, wouldn't it be cool to bless the person behind me and buy their drink? I gotta hurry up and get in there and get my seat. And I hope they sing the songs I like. How about this? When's the last time you thanked the worship team for the songs that they sang instead of worrying about if you like the songs that they sang? And I hope I really like the sermon. I hope I like the message. How about this? Instead of thinking that, how about buying a gift card for the guy that's up here? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? We're just so plugged into me. Burger King, I deserve a break today. It's all about me. And God's like, no, this is equally important. To love your neighbor as yourself. I hate this sermon. I wish I could have preached last week. I should have preached last week. But no, the real mark of a Christian is how you and I love one another. All right, grab your Bible there, would you? 1 John. This isn't the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is 1 John. At the end of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation and Jude, is 1 John. The passage is 1 John chapter 4. You there? Are you turning? Huh? And if you don't have a Bible, we want to welcome you. I know this is your first time here because anybody that calls New Life their home brings their Bible to church. Huh? Because we're fired up about the book. Hey, the word of God is a hammer, Jeremiah said. The word of God is like bread. Yeah. The word of God is like milk. The baby needs some milk. But Hebrews says that we don't want to just like keep drinking the milk. We need to get the meat of God's word. And the word of God is meat, and the word of God is a hammer, and the word of God is a sword. It's a sword. The word of God is a mirror. James says, if I hear a sermon today and then I just go away and don't do anything about it, I'm deceiving myself. And the word of God is powerful, right? And so John, writing in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I really love God. He's a mate. But if you don't love people, you don't really love God. It's a hard sermon. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning, keyword, sacrifice. Type that word in the chat there, sacrifice. Someone say it out loud, sacrifice. Atoning sacrifice for our sins, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Can't get away from this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Bless your word, God, as it goes forth. Help us to not just be hearers, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So according to 1 John chapter 4, real love is not coming to church. And I'm glad you came today. I'm glad you clicked on today. But it's not true Christianity. It's not the mark of a follower of Jesus. Hey, thank you for bringing your Bible to church. It's awesome. But guess what? The mark of a follower of Christ has nothing to do with whether you brought your Bible to church, whether you have, hey, I just got this cool WWJD bracelet. Awesome. That doesn't prove jack. Okay, but this is even cooler. I got a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. I would never put one of those things on my car because I don't drive that good. But none of those things, Christian t-shirt, a New Life sweater, doesn't prove that you're a follower of Christ. According to 1 John and so many other passages, how well you and I love one another. So I want to talk about two things. Number one, let's talk about the definition of love, and then number two, the demonstration. Someone say definition, someone say demonstration. Let's define love, because check it, in our culture, I think my wife said it last week, we use love for everything. Oh, Pastor Steve, we just got a brand new hamster. I love. Man, one thing I love about July 4th is I love hot dogs and baked beans. Love baked beans. I love sci-fi. I love Marvel. I love Star Wars. Oh, yeah, and I love my family. You better love your family more than you love baked beans. But listen, don't we use it for everything? I love it. And do you know that the New Testament was not written in English? It was written in Greek. And here's the problem. In our language, we only have one word for love. In the Greek language, they had four different words for the word love. I want to give you a little Greek lesson. Ready? Four words. You might want to write this down. Word number one is the word storge. Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. You're in Greek class right now. You didn't even know it. Storge, it means a parental love. Do we have any parents in the house? You know what's interesting about, you could get a really kind of quiet, mellow mom. Just like, she's chill, everything's good. You mess with her kids, she will jack you up in Jesus' name. She will slap you, punch you, and ask God to forgive her later, right? She's just like, you know what I'm talking about? You don't mess with a mama's kid, she'll jack you up. That's storge. The second kind of love is eros. It's sexual love or physical attraction. The third kind of love, listen to the Greek word, phileo. Can you think of a city in the United States where we get that word phileo? It's what? Philadelphia. What is Philadelphia? It's the city of brotherly love. So phileo is brotherly love. It's David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. It's Paul and Timothy in the New Testament. It's Starsky and Hutch. All the old people know that, the young people, what we talk about. And so it's a brotherly love that we have for one another. But 1 John chapter 4, it's none of those. It's this, it's agape. Some would say agape. A-G-A-P-E. It's selfless. You before me. You're more important. Selfless, sacrificial love. And that's the kind of love that God has for you and I. And this is the kind of love that we're supposed to have for one another. Can I go a little deeper? So we're talking about the definition. Love, listen carefully. Love is not just a feeling, teenagers. It's not just a feeling. It's more than that. My wife and I went to Lourdes the other night, and so she's sitting here, and then I'm sitting here, but off to my wife's right shoulder, I'm seeing this young couple. They had to be like 21 or 22, and they're the kind of couple that they don't sit across from each other. They sit on the same side. And if you're like that, you need prayer right now. But they're on the same, and I'm talking to Tammy, but I'm noticing them, and they're just like rubbing each other's hair, and like, they're doing all that. And then my wife went to the restroom, and she kind of swings her body this way, takes off her shoes, and plops, they're still in the middle of a meal, and plops her feet up, and he's kind of rubbing her feet, and then eating, and I'm like, you're disgusting. And they're just like looking at each other, like, I'm like, yeah, that's going to last like 2 more weeks. And so love is more than that, kind of this gushy, kind of puppy love. Some of you have cats. How many have cats? Raise your hand. You need deliverance in the name of Jesus. Sorry. I'm really allergic. But you ever see it? We used to have cats growing up, and the cat, like, they'd come up and they'd kind of rub up against your leg, and then you're like, oh, my cat just loves me. They don't. They're just rubbing themselves up against your leg. Any leg will do. It's true. Love is, listen, it's more than a feeling. Because sometimes you're not going to feel like you want to love people. It's more than a feeling. Here it is. Love is a command. And check this out about a command. You can't command anybody to feel a certain way. I'll prove it. At the count of three, I want everybody to just bawl. Cry. One, two, three, go. See, you're like, I can't. I'm actually in a good mood. I love the worship. And no. Cry. Be mad. I can't command you to feel it. So love is not, so when Jesus says, I command you to love one another, love is a choice. Check out this verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, coming on the screen, Colossians 3, 14. It says, and over all these virtues, let me just stop there. And the question is, over all what virtues? Well, you have to read the verses that lead up to verse 14, and he says patience and kindness and long-suffering. But look, above all these virtues, what does it say? Put on, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So he said, notice what he says. So before I came out here, look up here, before I came, I had to put on my jacket. I had to put it on. Why do you have to put it on? Because really, to love people like God wants us to love people, listen carefully, it doesn't come natural. It's supernatural. So every morning you wake up, you gotta put on love. How many have a neighbor next to you, on one side of you, behind you, or in front of you? Don't raise your hand because it might be somebody in the church, but they're just like that neighbor. Do you know that he parks like four cars on his front lawn and he doesn't keep his house up and there's weeds all over the place and he's just mean and slobby and irritable and he doesn't like you and he says rude things about you and your kids and you know, it's like Mr. Johnson, right? You're like, oh, he drives me crazy. And every Saturday night, they have parties there and quinceañera and loud music and just thought I'd throw in a cultural thing there. And it's like 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and I'm trying to wake up to go to church and he just drives me crazy. Mr. Johnson, right? He's just like that neighbor or that coworker, right? You're like, I know, okay. So here's what I'll do. I'll go into work tomorrow, and because I heard a message about loving people, I'm gonna do it. And you get home from church and you pull up into the driveway and there he is. Oh, you're home already? Should have stayed for another service. Right? And he's that guy and he's bagging on you and your kids and see. You can't do it super, it's impossible. Because he's gonna say something to set you off, she's gonna say something at work to set you off, and you gotta put on love, because it's not natural, it's supernatural. Here's what you gotta say: God, I don't like Mr. Johnson. And I'm having a hard time loving him or loving her, but God, would you give me the love and the capacity? Would you help me love him or her through you? That's how you need to do it. You gotta put it on. Turn to your neighbor and say, you gotta put it on. Got to put on. So that's the definition of love. Number two, let's talk about this, the demonstration of love. All right, do we have anybody that's good at addition? I'm not talking about geometry or calculus. I'm just like basic addition. Wow. Nobody's going to, anybody on the, how about, let me make it easier. Can anybody in the room count? Sam. Okay, Josh. Just count the time. We're back to 1 John chapter 4, ready? Just count the times. You need to have the NIV. Count the times the word love is used in the text, ready? 1 John chapter 4, we're gonna read verses 7 through 12 again, and let's count. Josh might need some help, he just got engaged. So. 1 John chapter 4, ready? And I'll help you, I'll kind of emphasize it. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, but because God is love. This is how God showed his love, verse 10. This is love, not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we all also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. How many? 13, not 12, not 14. How was your math? Good. Josh, come on, give it up for Josh. Come on, if you're watching the service online, just type Josh in the chat there. 13. How many? That reminds me of John 13. Jesus said, you're gonna know that you're a disciple of his if you have love for one another. 13. Oh, it also reminds me of a chapter in the New Testament that's used at almost every single wedding. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's the love chapter, right? 13 times mentioned in the passage, John 13, 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, the first two verses of 1 Corinthians 13 say this. Check it out. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, if I speak in tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am what? I know, but I just got a promotion and I'm making a lot of money. I know, but you're nothing. No, I got like 1,000 new Instagram followers this week. I know, but according to the Bible, you're nothing. No, but I oversee like 25 people at my job. No, you're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. I got the most amazing voice. I'm shocked that I'm not on the worship team at New Life. They haven't discovered how gifted I am. No, you're nothing if you don't have love. Listen, you could come up to me after the service and I can give you a prophetic word that comes true on Tuesday, but if I don't love you, I'm nothing. I can speak in tongues, pray 5 hours a day, have the New Testament memorized, but if I don't love people according to the Bible, I am what? I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Nothing. This should be the greatest goal of our lives, to love other people, and it's hard. And we need the love of God poured out in our heart. Verse 9 says, this is how God showed. Such an important word, he showed it. He didn't just talk about it, he showed it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been dying to tell you this all service, you talk too much. Come on, tell them. Talk too much. Don't we talk too much? I caught myself like a week or two ago talking to somebody. I was just like rambling. And they started getting bored, and I was getting bored. Like, shut up. I'm going on all these tangents, and we just talk too much, don't we? We got talk radio and chat and Instagram, and this is what I think, my opinion, and then you jump in your car, and Siri's talking to you, and then you get home, and Alexa's talking to you, and Alexa's talking to Siri, and I'm like, too much. Slow down. Notice that Jesus didn't just talk about loving us, he demonstrated it. He left heaven, came to the earth, and he demonstrated his love for us. Check out this verse, Galatians 5, 6 on the screen. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, what's the only thing that counts? Faith expressing itself through, this is key, not just faith, but faith expressing itself through love, through love. Tam and I were married for a couple years. We were living in Ventura at the time. And I remember this book came out in 1992. It's called The Five Love Languages. How many have ever read that, heard about the book? And I remember a couple of my friends were just talking, yeah, you got to read The Five Love Languages. You got to find out what your wife's love language is. And I'm like, I don't need no book. You guys are all rookies. I got this thing down, man. And they go, no, because like women are complicated. And women are hard to understand, and they're like a jigsaw puzzle. And I'm like, you guys are, I don't need a book. So I remember the book came out like in 1992, and we were living in Ventura, and at the time, we were like cranking busy. We were more busy as youth pastors than we are now, and we're pretty busy now. We did the high school group every Tuesday night. We did junior high on Wednesday night. I taught in a Bible college on Sunday night, and then we were youth pastors. We were at our kids' games, football, basketball, and we were just like going. Saturday was kind of our only day to chill. And a friend of mine called me, and he says, hey, well, a bunch of guys are playing in this softball tournament in San Bernardino. So, again, it's the only day I have off, and the team that's... The team was really good. Not only were they good players, but the name, they're all Christians. The name of our team was God Rules. How's my wife gonna say no to that? So we didn't have text message, but so my friend called, he goes, hey, we need a shortstop for tomorrow, and you think you can play tomorrow? I'm like, well, let me check with my wife. So I asked my wife, and I said, hey, what do you think about me going to play a softball in San Bernardino? And she says, well, I think it'd be okay. And so I called him up, like, I'm in. And I said, what time's the first game? He said, 8 a.m. I lived in Ventura, San Bernardino. I don't know, I left at like 5:30, and I'm like, well, we'll probably be done at like 12 or 1 or something like that. And he said, and it's a 64-team tournament. Now, if you know anything about, so we lost the first game at 8 o'clock. And if you know anything about softball, now you have to work your way through the loser bracket. God is my witness. We played at 9:10, 10:20, 11:30, 12:40. We played like 9 or 10 games. We made it to the championship. Everybody else got eliminated. Now it's like 8 o'clock. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we still have one more game to play and I have to drive home. And so the game was over. We won the whole championship. Come on, clap it. Put some clap. Yeah. And not only that, but my team chose me as the MVP for the entire day. So I was just like, I got my trophy and stuff, and not only my MVP trophy, but we got a trophy for winning. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be great. So I drove home. I probably rolled in about 10 o'clock. I was pumped, won the tournament, and I got the MVP, and I opened up the door. I'm like, yo, girl, what's up? And it was kind of honestly like cricket. It was, you could kind of sense the chill in the air. Come on, guys, don't leave me up here. You know what I'm talking about? Where's the married men at? I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she was cool, but I could tell, like, I probably shouldn't have been there all day long. Like, if I really loved her, I would have probably left at 2 o'clock, but because I'm selfish, I wanted to stay to the very end. And I said, how you doing? She says, fine. And when I first got married, I thought fine meant fine. But I discovered that fine doesn't mean fine. It means there's a lot of things that aren't fine. And I mean, she was really gracious, but she just said something along these lines. She said, are you going to play softball every Saturday? So when I heard it, I thought, well, is this an option? Because you're actually more fine than I thought was fine. And I said no. And it just kind of dawned on me. It was like, I spent the whole day in San Bernardino playing softball, kind of on our only day off. She was really gracious to let me go in the first place. But I made a decision because of my love for her. I wasn't going to be the guy to play softball every. I'm not saying I never played in a tournament again, but I didn't play in that many going forward because I'm like, I don't want to be like the other guys on so many softball teams, and you can fill in the other sport, that every weekend they're bringing their wife, bringing their kids to the softball field to watch me play. I just made a decision. I'm not going to be that guy. She was gracious. I just had to make a decision because of my love for my wife, I needed to prioritize. Not before, before you clap. You could probably talk to her about a lot of things that I've done wrong over the years, but it's one little thing. It's like, no, I can't just say that I love my wife. I've got to demonstrate it by, this cannot be my number one priority, is to be Mr. MVP on a team called God Rules. It's not that important. So we can talk, but demonstrate our love. Do you know, we talk in the church, pastors talk about, like, what are the signs of the end times? And what are they? Well, you're going to hear of famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, right? All this stuff. And there's going to be false teachers that will rise up. But you know what we don't talk about is Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. We never talk about this characteristic of end times. And I believe the verse is coming on the screen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow what? So, I mean, can it be a sign of the end time? Possibly. Are there more wars and rumors of war? I think so. More false teachers? Absolutely. Can Christ come at any time? I believe so. But we never talk about, like, one of the signs of the end times is the love of many will grow cold. And I think we're here. I think we're here. Just like a lack of respect for one another. You know, we had a conference lined up with, it was going to be amazing in August, and we had to cancel because of COVID. One of our guest speakers was Carl Lentz, the pastor of Hillsong New York, right? And then it just came out a couple months ago that he was having an affair with a gal that he met at a park, and it's horrible. I mean, it's terrible. And so he got let go. His wife got let go from their job, and so I just remember reading, like, Twitter and stuff, and it was crazy. I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about people in his church. Oh, he deserves it. He's a hypocrite. He's a false teacher. One guy said, I hope he burns in hell. I'm like, what? That's the heart of God? You know, Beth Moore, she's an amazing Bible teacher, and she's got, like, tons of followers, and she's super humble, and she's a great speaker, and she speaks all over the world, and she just came out, you know, kind of during the election, and she voted for Trump, and she just said, I think we need to be careful in the church that we don't start glorifying Trump, and she called it Trumpism, and she said, he's not our savior, Jesus is, and that was it. That was like the whole tweet, and what came back at her? Oh, you got a Jezebel spirit. From the people in the church, you got a Jezebel spirit. I hope you die. And Trump, and everything. I'm like, what are you talking about? It is so wicked. And we can look at stuff like that on social media and go, that's terrible. And then we bring that here in the church. And I've said this, it breaks my heart. When I have to hear from an usher or a greeter in our church that's volunteering that somebody cussed them out. Hey, is there any way, because you have kids and stuff, if you could kind of sit near the back as if they start like crying or something, then you could just scoot. You don't tell me where to sit. I've been coming to church for 3 years. I'm going to sit where I want to sit. Really? And then 15-year-old girls that work in the cafe. Oh, you're not going to believe somebody got ticked off because I made their drink wrong and just gave an attitude, cussed them out. I'm like, what? You are acting like that in church? I can't even imagine what you're like at your house. And then to go to a restaurant or call a... Listen, I get a little frustrated sometimes with customer service and stuff, but listen, you can't even justify your attitude in some of the things that you say, that I say. You cannot... it's wicked, it's demonic, it's ungodly, it's not God-honoring, has nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. And why is it that the church is known for what we're against and what we hate instead of... We should be known for our love. And they know that we are Christians by our... Come on. The way we talk to one another, the way that we treat one another, it is wrong. And listen, you cannot justify it. There are no loopholes. God says, if you love me, you better love my sons and daughters. No loopholes. Well, yeah, but they were kind of rude to me. No loopholes. Yeah, but they didn't vote like me. No loopholes. You know, Jesus was looking for a loophole in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was like, is there any way out? God's like, no. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And listen, we got to do more than just talk about it. We need to love people, and we need to do it by showing them. That's verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning, there it is, sacrifice. True biblical love is sacrificial. You are more important than me. Hey, wouldn't we drive differently if we really felt that way? So, man, you're kind of fighting to get in. Who's going to go? Oh, no, you go first. You're way more important than me. There, right by our house, when I'm ready to get on the freeway, I've shared this before, there's a little gas station there. There's always somebody waiting to get out, and I'm like, I can't. It's like, dude, settle down. So if you let him in, yeah, no, but if I let him in, I might hit the red light. Oh, so you're going to be 90 seconds later to the office? Chill out, just relax. Huh? Like losing our mind in traffic, like going off on people in a restaurant. And if you go off on somebody in a restaurant, you do not go to this church. Go to Second Baptist, downtown, whatever it is. God, we should be known for our love, our compassion, our grace. This is a tough sermon, isn't it? Turn to somebody and say, this is tough, this is tough. Come on, put it in the chat, this is tough. This is tough, this is where the rubber meets the road. I shared this story before, but I feel led to share it. Probably a decade ago, there's a couple pastors. One guy lived in, both Caucasian. One lived in Ventura, one lived in Camarillo. And they said, hey, we're going to start a church in Oxnard, and you've been here for like 15 years. Can we meet you? And I said, yeah. And so we went to Chili's, the three of us, and they sit down, and I'm like, so when are you guys starting? Oh, about like 6 months or so. And I said, are you guys going to move here? They're like, no, we're staying in Ventura, we're staying in Camarillo. But I'll never forget, he said, our denomination gave us $100,000 to start a church. I'm like, you're buying lunch. $100,000? And so they started, I said, so what do you love about Oxnard? They're just like, oh, man, we just love the beach. We love the climate here and take our kids to the Strawberry Festival. It's just, man, we love it here. It's awesome. And we just talking. Yeah, you're going to move here? No, we're not going to move here. You're going to send your kids to school? No, but we just love the climate, love the strawberries. And I'm like, so, but what do you know about the city? I just said, I like the beach and climate. Strawberries are good. It's a good taco truck. And I just remember me saying something like this, like, I know, but do you love Hispanics? Do you know anything about Hispanic people? Well, yeah, I mean, I've been to Taco Bell. Like, what are you talking about? No, but do you know anything about the Hispanic? Have you ever been to quinceañera? Have you ever had a lumpia? Where's my Filipino family at? Come on. Yeah. You ever had a lumpia? Do you like mixed cultures? Do you know anything about African Americans? And oh, I just like, I love the Strawberry Festival. No, but you don't really love the city. You don't love the people of the city. You like the idea of starting a church. You like that you're close to the beach. And here's what's really sad. They ended up starting the church, and it didn't work in Oxnard, and they ended up moving to Camarillo. And this is really sad, but the main couple, ended up getting a divorce. And I just remember thinking, like, you loved the idea, you liked the strawberries, you liked the climate, but you didn't love the people. Do you love the people? I mean, this should be really our aim. Hey, my goal, I just want to make as much as money as I can. I want to climb the corporate ladder. I want to be the supervisor. I want to get on, you know. No, that shouldn't be the aim. The aim is, because I think the people that have most impacted your life and mine are the people that loved us unconditionally. What would our church look like? What would our families look like? What would our workplaces look like? What would our school look like? What would our teams look like? What would our community look like? Our county look like? How can we change the political and the racial tension in our country if we would just do what the Bible says, love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself? Come on. So let me just kind of end with this. I don't know what happens in your house on your kid's birthday, parents' birthday, but like when our kids were living at home, it's kind of a big deal. So either you set up like some balloons and signs the night before or early in the morning and happy birthday, Ryan. And we got signs up there, a bunch of signs all over the kitchen and stuff. And you know what it's like on your birthday? And everybody's texting you, oh, you're just amazing. Instagram, oh, have a great birthday, I love you so much. And then we take them out to a restaurant. When they were young, I would take them also to IHOP for a little breakfast, take them to school, and it's just like, we love people on their birthday. You know what really sucks is the day after your birthday. You're like looking through, oh, nobody said anything to me. They don't care. And I always try to be sensitive to the day after someone's birthday because you get all this love on your birthday and then it goes away for 364 days. How about this? What would it look like if we treated people like every day was their birthday? Now listen, I know. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, that's really good. No, I know it's easy to clap, but how about like actually, I'm talking to myself. I'm saying like, let's actually do it. How would it change our church if we actually did it, our families, if we actually did it? So instead of, when you pull in today and you see Mr. Johnson, you're like, oh, hate that guy. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? And just loving on him, sending people flowers, sending a gift card, buying somebody coffee, taking somebody to lunch. Hey, I'm going to sit. Hey, would you want to sit with me? But just go out of your way to love people. I know this isn't an easy sermon, but it's biblical. So my wife and I, a year and a half ago, we were in Italy for our 30th anniversary, and we just ate. The food there is ridiculous. It is so, everything's good. And it's so simple, but it's just so good. We were just like, oh, so stuffed. You know what it's like when you're so stuffed and then you go to a movie after and then you walk in, you smell the popcorn? Like, I'm so full, but okay, I'll take a bucket. And we were kind of feeling like that after we ate, and then we walked by we were just doing some shopping, and we walked by this place that was selling homemade cannolis. Yeah, it sounds good right now. At 12 o'clock, I haven't eaten yet. And you could just kind of smell it, and they stuff them with like pistachios and mascarpone cheese. Did I pronounce it right? And so you're not even hungry, but you're just like. So we're just like, oh, let's go full of smell. We'll take a dozen, please. And not even hungry and stuff. But here's the reason. Like, we were on the outside of the bakery, but the smell was so good on the inside that it was attracting us two people that were on the outside that weren't even hungry, but the smell on the inside, the preparation on the inside, the baking on the inside brought two people from the outside inside. I wonder what would happen if the love that we would have for God and one another inside would attract people on the outside. So when people were just like walking their dog, they're riding their bike by, they're like, what is going on? I sense something in there. I feel something in there. Man, what is going on inside of that building? Not just the love that they have for God, but the love that they have for one another. And they're just like, I got to get in there. Something on the inside is capturing me. I got to get inside. That's the church. Wouldn't it be awesome if the thing that we're known for at New Life is like, hey, what are you known for? Dude, New Life is the most loving, accepting church on the planet. And by the way, you know the Connect cards people fill like first time? What did you like best? This happens 90% of the time. No, that's an exaggeration. 70%. What'd you... I love the diversity. I love the family feel. I love the friendliness. I love how I felt welcomed. That's always number one. You know what's number two? No, not my sermons. That's like number 17. Number two is the worship. I just love the worship and the music and the production. But I'll take that every single time. What's the first? Man, just the love of the people. Because I got to say this all the time. It doesn't matter how awesome the service is. I mean, I could preach like T.D. Jakes. I could even bring up a sweat towel up here. Just, hey, yeah, hey, everybody standing. But listen, if people aren't loved out there, I guarantee you they will not come back. So if they're treated rudely by a parking attendant, by an usher, am I telling the truth? If you go to pick up your kid and it's like, your kid's a total brat. Are you going to come back? No, you're not going to come back. So every person is very important. Every minister is very, from the time somebody pulls their car in to have an encounter with the security person, usher, greeter, children's ministry. Listen, unless that is nailed down and we love people unconditionally, it doesn't matter what happens up here. So I want New Life to be known. Let's say, man, not the best preaching, not the best this. They don't have a ton of money, but man, they love people well. They love people well. Is that what you want? That's what I want. It's the kind of church I want to attend. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. And man, I need God to help me. Because I could be really selfish. Somebody said yes. I said I could be very selfish, and I heard over there, yes, yes. No, because I live in the world like you do, and I'm just like thinking about me and me and me and me and me. Steve, stop. Just think about other people. Lord, thank you for your word, and what a challenge. What a challenge it is to love. Lord, the people that we don't agree with, the people that we don't like, the people that we don't see eye to eye with, the people that drive us crazy. Help us to love the unlovely. God, instead of driving by or walking by a homeless person and saying, well, it was their own fault. And God, give us compassion. Jesus, you looked on Jerusalem, and the Bible says that you looked on them and you had compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Give us compassion. Give us empathy. Give us unconditional love. And God, we admit we can't do it naturally. It has to be supernatural. So we pray that the love of God will be poured out in our heart. Help us to love our spouses, our kids, our parents, coworkers, neighbors with an unconditional love. Give us creativity. Maybe some of us need to send an email, send a text, give somebody a gift card, buy someone flowers. Give someone an encouraging word. Help us to put this message into practice. We give you all the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.